Mark chapter number 10. Bible says, by the way, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We find that in context with the preaching of the word of God. And for a soft-spoken guy like me, we got that big system back there. And if it ain't working right, why, it's kind of hard to hear. And faith is not going to be exercised if you can't hear. And so it's pretty important. We've had a little issue here the last couple of weeks. We're not sure what it is. Maybe we got part of it taken care of. I don't know. We'll find out. But we trust that you'll just be able to look at and hear God's word. Let me ask you a question tonight. This has nothing to do with it. Well, maybe it does. What's your authority? What is your authority? I mean, what do you base your life on? What propels you? Where do you get your marching orders? What you did today, why did you do it? What you did yesterday, why did you do it? Was it God telling you that, or was it you telling you that? Pretty important question, isn't it? And I find it oftentimes, we as God's people, we're taking matters in our own hands far too often. And as a result, we find that our young people, they see all of those things. And what we say is important is not always very important as they look at our lives. And I mean, we tell them, hey, you ought to be in the house of God, and we aren't. We tell them, hey, you ought to be doing this, and we're not. And what really drives us? We need to be very, very cognizant of that. Matter of fact, tonight I'd like to deal with something I believe is very, very unique in our homes, in our church, and something that I want you to, you've heard it before. I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight, but I want you to hopefully be reminded of some things. I'm going to go to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. Book of Mark, chapter number 10. I want to read verses 13 down to verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 down to verse number 17. It's not a lengthy portion, but my goodness, what is contained here is marvelous. Chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for this, your precious word. Oh, God, how we thank you that it's food for our soul. It is that which can nourish us and that which can sustain us and that which can, as we found out on the day of salvation, can save our hell-deserving soul. Lord, I pray that you might work in our hearts tonight, teach us valuable truth. Lord, help us to see where we're wrong. We so often think of others rather than ourselves. So often we point our fingers without realizing those three that are coming back. So Lord, tonight, help us to take cognizance of what you want us to hear. And oh God, I pray that for myself and each one of us in this room. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. If we really believe that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, then we must understand that education is primarily biblical. Did you hear those words? If we really believe the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, then we need to understand that education is primarily biblical. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." James said it this way in chapter 1, verse 5, "If any man lack wisdom, or if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I say to you tonight that all learning for the Christian is not divided up into the sacred and the secular. For all ground that we walk ought to be considered holy ground. For all that we walk upon is that which the Lord God made, and all that we behold is that which the Lord God has His hand upon. It is from the Bible that we learn something very important. We learn the places of education really are two places. One is in the home. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7, very, very particularly we find it says, "And thou shalt teach them," speaking specially to the father in the home, "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Education's not sitting behind a desk with a book in our hand. It is a full-time exercise of the mind. And it is that which we have an opportunity to use day by day, 24/7. It is available to us. But we also find that the church of God is a place for that which we would call education. In 2 Timothy 2:2 it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We know that that be in the setting of the house of God. Do you realize tonight that who does the teaching is extremely important? Really it is. Let me ask you tonight, if I had my notes here, I had my Bible here, and President Obama came, would he be able to say spiritual truth to you? Most of you here believe that he's Muslim. I agree with you. Would he be able to do that? Whose teaching is very important, is it not? And it's very important. By the way, it's not just saved people, but it's those who have the right doctrine and the right authority. May I remind you of something? This book right here, this one is King James Version. Mine says giant print reference concordance, words of Jesus in red, Nelson. I don't know what in the world those numbers are. But it has all those things on it. But when I open up my Bible, I look at something that I know is thus saith the Lord. This is the authority. My Bible teaches me as a pastor that I am to preach the Word of God with authority. Because I'm authoritative, because I speak maybe with a loud voice if it's amplified enough. Is it because you can clap on the pulpit and wake folks up? Is that what it is? No, it's because the Word of God is the authority which you and I have the privilege to handle in our lives. And so it becomes very important who teaches that Bible. It really is. For the home to do less than what God says there in the book of Deuteronomy is a derelict of duty. And for the church to do less than that is heresy. The apostle Paul, when he was speaking to the Ephesian elders, says, "For I'm not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God. All that God has for us. By the way, to think that education is simply a collection of facts placed at our disposal is ridiculous. It's learning how to take all those facts and make life-changing decisions. The interpretation of all the facts that is out there is either in a theistic or an atheistic manner. It either leads us to morality or immorality. It's going to take us in one direction or the other. And so it becomes very important as to how it's taught and so forth. Our nation has gone decidedly atheistic in its education. And what have we found in our nation? It has become very immoral. Today, this morning, boys cannot look in the mirror and figure out that they're a boy. It's pretty simple, amen? Girls can't look in the mirror and figure out that they're a girl. And we have such a confused society. And when a child has any thoughts that are just a little bit, he's not really sure of some things in his life, and he says, "Well, it's all right if you want to be." No, it isn't all right. If you're born a girl, you're a girl. If you're born a boy, you are a boy. And it's time to start acting like it. Amen? Yeah. Don't get confused about it. It's a horrible thing that we're in this day today. Why has that happened? Because we've taken the approach that the Word of God is not our authority. We've taken the approach that God has nothing to do with education. It's time for our homes and our churches to take back the instruction to its young people that we may seek to build their lives with character and righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And what are we finding? We're finding our nation tremendous reproach. Far too long, we have rebuked those who have brought their children to us by believing it was the world's occupation to train them. Seriously, brethren, how foolish. We've been like the disciples who rebuked the folks for bringing the children to Jesus. May I remind you what it says in verse number 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer. That's an old King James word that simply means allow. Let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. God has given to us responsibility to train up children. And it's a 24/7 responsibility. To do it biblically, to do it properly, it takes a combination of our homes and our church. These kids are worth it, amen? You say, well, preacher, I don't have any children. Well, yeah, you do. Mine are grown, I've got grandchildren, but we are an influence in the lives of so many people. And we have the opportunity to be an influence in the lives of so many people. I want us tonight to stop and think about this passage for just a few moments. And the text we find here in Mark chapter 10. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, rebuking adults who keep children from Him. Rebuking adults who keep children from Him. Most people that I know who've been saved come to Christ in the first 20 years of their life. Almost without exception, in the last 10 years, the missionaries that we have come and presented their field have been saved at an early age, and they've been trained up in their local churches. It's interesting to look at that. Those who are trained with a theistic worldview are the ones who are taking the gospel around the world. They are a product of a people who've had a vision. How we need that. Conversely, on the other side of the coin, most of us, we were trained under atheistic, humanistic education, and we had to be radically retrained before we could be much good to God. Especially if we were saved in later years. Our Lord knew what He meant when He said, for of such, He's speaking of those little children, is the kingdom of God. And how we need to reach them early for Christ. It's frightful to keep a child from the learning that they can receive at the feet of Jesus. I've often wondered about the verse that you find a chapter previous in chapter 9, verse 42, about those who hold back kids from even being in the house of the Lord. It says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. It's one thing to deny a child from going to Sunday school, but is it any different if we're keeping a child from hearing the literature that is given to us to glorify God? Or the music that will bring honor to Him? Or the speech and language that shows forth His being? Or the science that displays the wonders of His creation? Or the history that is really His story, and on we can go. You see, learning is not just for the Word of God. It is from all facets of life as the Word of God is applied to it. And how they need to hear that, not only in their home, but in their church. And it needs to be not just now and then. It needs to be constant. We find not only that, but we find the rebuke to the elders, those who were trying to keep him from coming, that he invites children to his side. I find it a marvelous thing that God and kids can have a relationship. It's probably been 2 or 3 months ago. I don't know how many of you folks know this, but there were several of our young teenage girls that went to Lindsay and said, right after church on Wednesday nights, we just like to kind of get together and pray and look at the Word of God together. I don't even know what they do together. They spend a little bit of time in here. And after a while they come out. I don't know if they sing together. I don't know what they're doing together. But I say, you know what? Young kids can have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? It's amazing what can be taken into their minds and in their hearts. And so he invites children to his side. And it's a quality time. It's a moral touch from the Savior himself. It's for spiritual conversation. They need to hear that. 90% of our young people hit 18 and never darkened the church door again. They've been raised in our churches. They've been in Sunday school. They've attended most of their life. But they walk away. Why is it? Many have never been saved because it was never really put to them. Many have heard the things, but they never saw it lived in the life of their parents or other church members. And all they saw was a sham. Oh, how they need to see the reality of Christ in our lives. I asked you a while ago, what is the authority of your life? What is it? Why? What did you do yesterday and why did you do it? Was it because you know thus saith the Lord or was it just your own whim? Children aren't stupid. They figure it out. And they see it. And they understand so often it's not really true in a life. And so what happens many times, they turn and walk away. We find not only did he invite children to his side, but he taught them about the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches us that if we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, it's by the new birth. Jesus answered and said to him in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 2 verses later, he says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How do you get into the kingdom of God? You're born into it. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What's he mean? You're born of the family of God. How does it take place? Because we believe in him. What is that kingdom of God? Well, it's a spiritual kingdom. In Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, it says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom that we're brought into when we accept Jesus Christ. And so he teaches us about that. But we also find the Lord Jesus Christ doing something marvelous. As I look at those verses and I read here that the Lord Jesus, it says he touched them and he blessed them. Wow. Took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. I was taught in my early days not to hug. I was told that you need to be very careful when you do. And so I was just, somebody wanted to hug me, I was this guy. But I've learned something. And sometimes they need a hug. And sometimes they need a hand put upon their shoulder. Oh, yea, once in a while they need a touch with the board. And by the way, did you know that that's showing love too? But he touches them. And he blesses them. That word blesses basically makes them happy. Do you know the only true happiness is in the Lord? But you know what us as adults try to teach our children, or maybe don't try to teach our children, but do so often. We teach our children that real happiness is not about the Lord, but about the toys we have. Nothing wrong with toys, but that's not what life is. And really what the toy ought to do is basically make that time together something that's real and wondrous. And so the Lord, we find here, brought these little children to him. He touched them, put his hands upon them, and tells us, and then he blessed them. I've often seen the television and the movies where some priest walks up and with a thing in his hands and he touches somebody with a little wand and says, "Bless you, my child." But it's far greater than that. It's letting them know the tender love and care of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you and I practice the same thing. Say, why do you preach this tonight? Because our kids and you and I need to realize how important it is, not only in our home but in our church, to preach and teach Jesus Christ, not only with our lips but with our life. Because Jesus did more than talk to them. He brought them into his very presence. To sit with your children and bring them into the presence of Almighty God. How marvelous that is. To help them understand and to be able to worship an Almighty God. Wow. And to know that you operate upon the basis of what he says. Not your whims. Not for your recreation or whatever it is. But because thus saith the Lord. How important. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, teach us valuable truth. Lord, we've ignored some things. We've let the world have some things that were not theirs. We've backed away and we've not seen the relevance of the authority that is ours in the Word of God. We somehow thought because we didn't have a degree in education, we couldn't teach. But how false that is. Lord, there was a day when folks realized that the chief instructor in a city was the pastor. And those who stood next to him were able teachers as well. Lord, help us to understand that we have a tremendous responsibility and a great joy in doing it. Lord, to see these rise up for you. I don't believe there's a parent here that wants their child to go to hell. I don't believe there's a parent here that wants their child to go astray. But oftentimes, the way we behave and what we do, we're leading them in those paths. Reveal that to us. Open our hearts and our minds that we may see and operate in the realm of the Word of God. Lord God, just bless. Strengthen us in the things of God. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not been a message for an invitation, but I do want to